Thanks be to God. Thank you, Peggy, for opening God's word for us this morning. And I hope all of us can maybe connect a couple dots with that scripture as we continue to engage Jesus' Sermon on the Mount together today. I want you to think about two words. When you hear them, what comes to mind? And here's the two words. In conclusion. In conclusion. Now, don't relate that to the sermon or anything right away, right? But maybe it's true, right? Growing up, or maybe even now, when you heard the pastor say, in conclusion. Or maybe it was one of those high school or college lectures, right? Commencement speeches. In conclusion. Oh, we're getting there. We're wrapping it up. Or maybe you yourself were giving a presentation or a speech, and when you saw those words in your notes, in conclusion, you were encouraged. You're almost there. I'm almost done. I can't wait. Or maybe concluding something has a little sadness to it, right? You're reading a great book and you don't want it to end, or you have that favorite TV series that has not only the season finale, but it's the series finale. It's going to conclude. It's going to be over. And so you may have some different emotions there as well. In conclusion, Jesus is bringing it home, if you will, in his message. We're almost there. It's been a long time since Jesus gathered the disciples, it seems to us, right? We've been doing this sermon for weeks. We don't exactly know how long Jesus spoke to his disciples when he went up on the mountainside, sat down, and his disciples came to him. And we were told in Matthew chapter 5, he began to what? To teach them. He taught them about being blessed. He taught them about being salt and light, and that he had come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law and the prophets. Jesus continued to teach us about murder and anger, adultery, divorce, making oaths, seeking revenge, an eye for an eye. Do you remember that? Loving my enemies, giving to the needy, praying and fasting, and setting our treasures in heaven, not here on earth. Worry and how to not judge others. Asking, seeking, and knocking, being persistent in our requests and our prayers before the Lord. And last week, where we left off with verse 12, it said this, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." And I really believe as we approach today's text in Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 13, Jesus is in some way saying, in conclusion, he's going to bring it home. And as you might discover, as you hear it this morning or meditate on it further in the coming days, there's quite a different tone in Jesus' heart, and most likely his disciples heard that in his voice as well. Let's listen to God's word as Jesus begins to bring his sermon to conclusion. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 13, we hear this. "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. God's word to us this morning. Can you imagine Jesus having a little bit different tone now than blessed are you? This is tough stuff. This is something that we need to pay attention to and not say, oh, this is something we just need to skip over. Get me to the good stuff. Friends, this is good stuff. This is Jesus sharing his heart with us. And one of the first things that we will see highlighted in this scripture today is that Jesus alone is the gate. He says in John chapter 10 that Peggy read for us, what? I am the gate. He is the only way to salvation. Enter through the gate. And we learn that what? To enter, the call to enter through the narrow gate is the call to conversion, the call to make Jesus Lord. Friends, followers of Jesus Christ make an evangelical decision at the gate, and then one led, empowered by the Spirit, on the hard way of discipleship. This is tough stuff, friends. The life of discipleship passes day by day through the narrow gate of the decision to make Jesus Lord. And so to walk decidedly to the uneasy road of obeying his teaching about life in the kingdom. Friends, that gate is narrow. It's a call to conversion. And Gigi, I might need a little help with the slides. My clicker isn't working. So if we want to advance to the next one, the call to enter through that narrow gate is the call to conversion, the call to make Jesus Lord, Lord of all. I love this quote. We simply will not be willing to live the hard way that Jesus commands unless we believe that Jesus is God's Son teaching us the truth and that Jesus is God's Savior enabling us to live this truth. Do you believe it, friends? Do you believe that once you enter through that narrow gate, you're a follower of Jesus, and the good news of the gospel is that you're called to be a disciple. You're called to live a life of Christian discipleship. And Jesus says, this isn't going to be easy. This isn't going to be easy at all. There needs to be a daily practice empowered by the Holy Spirit of obedience. Obedience to try to follow the teachings from the heart of God. And so as Jesus begins his concluding remarks in his sermon, you enter this kingdom community again by that narrow gate. That is the right way to enter. It's not just one of the ways to get to Jesus. It's the only way. The wide way, Jesus says, leads to disaster. It leads to disaster. And we might wrestle with that a few minutes, because it seems, as Jesus teaches us during this sermon, that wide is his mercy, wide is his love, and deep is his grace for forgiveness when we worry, forgiveness when we get angry, forgiveness when we don't live in right relationship with God and one another. And yet narrow is the way to everlasting life. And then Jesus warns us against those who would mislead us, those who look good on the outside, right? Say the right words, dress the part. But inwardly, where we know the real action lies, they are governed merely by their own desires. Jesus might call them once again, as he called out many, right? Oh, you hypocrites. You say one thing, you teach one thing, but you do another. And what they do matters to Jesus. He illustrates, he gives us a visual picture. He says, trees and plants manifest their nature in their fruit. Fig trees bear what? Figs, not grapes. And what people do reveals, when thoroughly and honestly considered, the kind of person that they really are. Those who are to be trusted, those who are true shepherds, true disciples following after Jesus' heart, are the ones who actually learn to do what Jesus taught us in this sermon. In many ways, I've been convicted that I need to look at Jesus' sermon weekly, if not daily, right? Jesus is teaching kingdom life principles. Jesus wants us to experience life and to have it abundantly. He is the good shepherd who dies for his sheep, who will do anything to protect his sheep. And so he says, enter through the gate. It's narrow. It's costly. It's going to be hard. But learn to put into practice what I have taught you. All of this is the same as saying that in actually doing what Jesus knows to be best for us, we're going to build a life that is absolutely indestructible. It's going to be built upon the solid rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. And more to come on that teaching next week. But friends, we need to discern between Christian appearance, which can be clothed in sheep's skin, right? And, Jesus teaches us, Christian effect or impact, good fruit, a commitment of discipleship. Friends, again, fruit, what oozes out of us for God's glory and the benefit of others, means what is produced, what people actually do. Are they practicing what they preach? How are they really living their lives? How their lives and actions have been impacted and transformed by the gospel? Friends, you probably know just as well as I do of people that come to mind right now that you know preached or proclaimed one thing and acted and lived in another, that conflicted with the teachings that Jesus offers us, that Jesus proclaims to us, that Jesus cries out to his flock to follow. And yes, I said it, Jesus concludes his sermon with unqualified toughness. He means what he says. He wants to get our attention one more time. Jesus believes his person and teaching are the exclusive way to life. And he makes no bones about it. And friends, as we share this truth, as we believe this truth, we need to share it with others with grace, with mercy, and with love. Someone asked Jesus once in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, "Lord, will those who are being saved be few?" Jesus didn't really address their curiosity. Instead, he replied, "Strive to enter by the narrow door." Everybody resents at times being faced with the necessity of a choice. But Jesus, friends, creates that tension on purpose. He won't allow us to escape the choice. John 14, verse 6 says what? "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." That narrow gate, that narrow door, that road that is going to be hard and difficult. Friends, Jesus is not impressed by our pious and orthodox words. If we say prayers totally with confidence and every word correctly, no. He still daily asks for evidence of our sincerity in our good works of what? Obedience. How do we respond with gratitude for what Jesus has done for us? How do we obey him? And we obey him not to make the front page of the newspaper, not to impress our friends or our colleagues or our neighbors. We do it to say, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done for me." James Montgomery Boyce said this, "One of the worst things that can be taught in religion is that all roads lead to heaven." Friends, that's the message in our postmodern world and culture. It's out there today. Do what feels right to you. Believe and say what feels right to you. And yet Jesus teaches us to be discerning, to judge, but to not be judgmental. And so how with grace and truth can we point people to Jesus, the good shepherd, the true gate to everlasting life? Jesus wants us to know and be clear that he is the road that leads to life, and life in all eternity. Friends, the important point is that you make sure you enter the gate and travel on this road that leads to life. Jesus is very honest with us all. It's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. But I rely on, and I invite you to as well, on Jesus' promise of presence to never leave us nor forsake us. That's what Jesus is teaching from the mountaintop, with his disciples surrounding him and others listening in. Jesus does not teach that it would be easy either to become or be a Christian. He said it would be difficult. And I believe that anything worthwhile is. Following Jesus is difficult. But yet, as we heard in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. "I have come," Jesus said, "that you may have life and have it to the full." Abundant life in the presence of the Good Shepherd, in the presence of your Savior. And Jesus wants us to be aware that I can go through life thinking that Jesus is Lord. I can even say that Jesus is Lord every day. I can even agree with you all that you believe Jesus is Lord. But that is not what Jesus is teaching us. He's saying it has to go deeper than just lip service or what we look like from the outside? Has your heart radically been transformed by the saving love of Jesus Christ? Have you transferred the trust of your life over to Him? That's so hard, isn't it, friends, to let go and make Jesus Lord over all. This is what Jesus is saying to us in conclusion. Make me Lord over all. Be discerning. Don't be judgmental, but be discerning to follow the way that I have laid out for my children. Friends, Dr. Dale Bruner says to read the Sermon on the Mount is to discover what it means to be Jesus' disciples. It's a starting point. To read through the Sermon on the Mount once, twice, or even more, weekly, right? Helps us to discover what it means to be Jesus' disciples. To read it with faith, to read it with transferring our trust to Him, Dr. Bruner says, is to receive power to be Jesus' disciples. And who of us doesn't need a little Holy Spirit power today? Amen? We need help. Life is tough. But Jesus is faithful. These two gates that we heard about today call us to conversion to Christ alone and to rugged discipleship following Him, and we know it's going to be a rough ride. The two prophets, if you will, call us to be aware of seductive false prophets in sheep's clothing, of super Christians, right? With their seductive charms and their charismatic gifts. But instead, Jesus says, be simple Christians who do the unspectacular will of God. It may not put you on the front page of the paper, but Jesus will know His sheep. He will guide you and care for you and pray for you and sustain you. Take comfort today in these two verses from John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. God the Father loves you. God the Father loves each of us enough to keep speaking Jesus, who is the eternal world, into our pain and our suffering. You are a much loved child of God, friend. He loves you so much. And so, in conclusion, it is one of the reasons that this verse has become, in fact, so famous, is, I think, precisely because it expresses in one sentence, the core of what salvation history is all about. As humans, we've fallen away from God, but God has provided a way for us to get back to Him. All you need to do is to believe and make Him Lord over all your life, yours included. Transfer the trust of your life to Jesus. Enter through that narrow gate. Ask for the Holy Spirit to give you discernment as you'll hear voices and teachings and other ways. It's got to be easier. It's got to be more comfortable. It's got to be more simpler than this hard road of discipleship. But Jesus says, no. It isn't. But I got you. And I'm not letting go. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You want us to know the will of the Father. And so thank You for sharing this message with us. And as You conclude Your sermon to us next week, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to know how loved we are, that we are a precious child of God. And I pray this morning that we can just let go of our wisdom, of our power, of our accomplishments, and rest solely in you and you alone, in what you have accomplished through your death and your resurrection. And may we rest in that truth, that you have saved us, and that you have redeemed us, and that you have called us to follow you wherever you lead us. Help us to bear good fruit for your glory and the benefit of others. We pray this, and God's people say, amen.